I love rainbows. I love that a rainbow has become a symbol of the 2SLGBTQ+ inclusion. But my love of rainbows goes back a lot further. A rainbow in the sky, partial, full, or double, is a spectacular sight. It takes rain particles and light particles to mix and refract the light. I remember several years ago, I was on the board of Camp McKay, which is in the Qu'Appelle Valley of Saskatchewan. And so I was involved in the leadership training day. And the group of leaders were divided into two different in separate buildings. I was going back between the sessions, and I noticed a spectacular rainbow in the sky over the valley. Seizing this moment of the wonder of creation, I ran into one of the buildings, and when there was an appropriate moment, said, "Hey, everyone, there's the most amazing rainbow outside." No one moved. I kind of awkwardly backed out of the building and yet undeterred, went to the next building and went in and said, "Hey, everybody, there is the most amazing rainbow outside." Everyone jumped up, came outside, and there was a spirit of wonder and gratitude. That was over 30 years ago. I still, to this day, don't know why there was such a contrast in the group responses. But I still seize the opportunity to jump up and look at rainbows. A rainbow in the sky is a natural gift of creation. A rainbow in the sky has powerful symbolism attached to it. I have a friend who is comforted by the sight of a rainbow as it's, for her, a sign of her deceased mother reassuring her. Today, in the reading from Genesis, we hear a story about the powerful symbolism of a rainbow. Not primarily for Noah, not primarily for humanity ever since, but it is described as a reminder for God. God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it'll be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And when I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." This covenant is at the end of the Noah story. We often think of Noah and the ark as a cute little story. The animals going on the ark two by two, and there are lots of ideas and jokes about what it would have been like on the ark. There are many who take this story literally, and there have been searches to try to find the remnant of the ark. This story is found in the early chapters of Genesis, and the first 11 chapters of Genesis are not seen as history by credible biblical scholars. These prehistory stories are shaped and written to convey deeper truth. Many of these stories come out of that exile period of the Hebrew narrative, where identity and perspective were in great need of being shaped, reshaped, transformed. So it's quite a bold statement to hear that the promise of God has been that never again will there be a flood to destroy all flesh. In a context where the Hebrew people have felt neglected and forgotten and punished by their God, it's important that they're told that the covenant has not been broken. Maybe there's a different interpretation of the current predicament. Maybe God has not given up on them. Maybe they shouldn't give up on God. Maybe when they looked up to the sky and saw a rainbow, they would remember that God is remembering. Maybe when they saw a rainbow and how the light refracted through the particles of water, they would remember that holy energy was also at work in their lives. Maybe they would remember that death and destruction is not going to be the way of God. That death and destruction is not going to be the last word. Today, we continue our creation season theme as we ponder our response as creatures to the gifts and dilemmas of living in this world. And the third verse of the hymn, God of the Sparrow, reads, God of the rainbow, God of the cross, God of the empty grave, how does the creature say grace? How does the creature say thanks? A rainbow in the sky may remind us that death and destruction is not going to have the last word, is not going to be the last word of God, and yet we live with a lot of death and destruction. Friday night, I attended a funeral visitation for the stepson of a longtime friend. The son is a 30-year-old who died leaving a widow and three young children. We don't hear as much about the power of fires burning in our country and world as we did a few weeks ago. But the images of burnt out Jasper and other places are imprinted on our minds and hearts. We do see images of war and violence from Gaza and from Israel and from Lebanon and from the Ukraine. And we don't hear as much about some of the other conflicts around the world. We hear violent and polarizing language from political leaders and other sources that spread lies and fear. We live with realities of brokenness within families, with heartache over diminished abilities, with anxiety about future needs and directions. So there's much that causes distress and woe and tempts us to despair. God of the rainbow, God of the cross, God of the empty grave. But our faith story does not leave us in the death and destruction. It does not deny that it's a part of life, but it reminds us that it does not have the final word. The flood and rainbow story is a major reminder of the hope that is part of the essence of the holy. And in our Christian tradition, the cross and empty grave, the death and resurrection of Jesus, ground us in a hope that remind us that life emerges out of death, and that truth isn't just about our physical death, but also experienced in a variety of ways in our lives and in our community. We have heard today a section from a song of faith that speaks of what we hold to be true about Jesus in the community of the United Church of Canada. By becoming flesh in Jesus, God makes all things new. In Jesus' life, teaching, and self-offering, God empowers us to live in love. In Jesus' crucifixion, God bears the sin and grief and suffering of the world. And in Jesus' resurrection, God overcomes death. Nothing separates us from the love of God. The risen Christ lives today, present to us, and the source of our hope. So amidst the difficulty, the death, the despair, we are reminded to remember the rainbow promise and the resurrection truth. We are reminded to seek the glimpses of compassion and love and that always permeate through the tough times. We are reminded that the creatures say grace and thanks. We are invited to know those gifts as we live amid the storms and walk in the valleys. Yesterday, some of us gathered at the Ravines to celebrate the life of Willie Marthaler. And prior to the public gathering, I had the privilege of being with the family for a short service in the chapel. And as part of that time, I invited the family members to offer words that described Willie's life and character. And one of the words offered was resilience. As her life included growing up during the war, moving twice to new countries, living with the death of her son, her husband, and her granddaughter. Through it, she lived with a resilience of hope and faith. On the radio this morning, I heard a story of a teacher who was working to teach strategies for building resilience in children with the increase in natural disasters. Maybe one of those strategies is to tell stories that tell eternal truths. Our creation is groaning with the strain and weight of humanity's dominion over it. Our society and world is craving leadership and hope that is productive. We can do better than this. We need an influx of grace. The gift of caring for one another and seeing in one another a human rather than mistakes or labels or fear. Our created order needs renewal and restoration. There have been too many floods and fires and storms, and the cycles of creation need a chance to give life anew. We are invited to live with thanks as our beginning point of response, so that selfishness and greed are kept in check. And we are able to be partners in creation. Because when we take time to notice creation, we see wonder and majestic beauty and amazing gifts that plants and animals and the sky and the seas offer. We see how creation, when it's not disrupted, has natural cycles of rebirth and renewal. We marvel at how a seed can grow and a rainstorm can offer a rainbow. So we are invited into mystery in humility and with deep commitment to find ourselves in God's ongoing story. A story illustrated by rainbows, crosses, and empty graves. A story that speaks of grace and gratitude. Amen.